While we are and should examine ourselves before taking the Lord's Supper, I want to remind you today that this is not for perfect people. We come and we take this cup and we eat this bread because we realize we are not perfect. We are not sufficient in and of ourselves at all. And we are trusting in the one that this reminds us of, and the one whose death this proclaims until He returns, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 4. While in just the next few minutes, I'd like to share with you a short message from Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Nathan, can we go ahead and clear the screen? Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. We are in an exposition through the book of Jeremiah. We don't have sermon handouts today, and there'll be nothing up on the screen. Sometimes on first Sundays, we're going to do things a little different. Our order of service is sometimes different because we want to try to give proper observance to communion and to the ordinances, to the things that we are maybe looking at on that first Sunday. So we also may take first Sundays to try to give our guys in the sound booth a little bit of a break and not have handouts and things like that to go along with the message. Really, it's very beneficial as well for us to open up our Bibles and make sure that we don't have any distraction and that we look at God's Word and hear from the Word of God. Sometimes even a sermon handout can keep us from focusing on God's Word as we need to. So we want to be disciplined and not get in too much of a rut. In Jeremiah chapter 4, I want to share with you a message this morning entitled Heart Condition. In these verses, I'd like to ask you to look at them together as I read them. As a matter of fact, would you stand to your feet as I read them aloud very quickly this morning? Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. The Bible says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts. You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray You will bless the reading of Your Word this morning to our hearts. And Father, we pray, God, that Your Word would run swiftly and be glorified among us, Lord, and that we would continue to see the effects of Your Word in the lives of the lost. Lord, we pray that we would see the effects of Your Word in the lives of Your people, as, Lord, we are a people who become more and more holy and committed to holiness and to following the Lord Jesus Christ daily. And Lord, we just pray, God, that You would humble us all. Humble the sinner today. Lord, humble the saint so that we can see beyond ourselves and continue to cast our vision, our gaze upon Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Heart condition. Your heart, obviously, is a very important thing. The physical heart is, I would say, it's a pretty vital organ. I remember several years ago, I went to work when I was doing some construction work, and went in that morning, I felt some chest pain, felt a little bit of a pain in my left arm. What am I automatically beginning to think? I'm having a heart attack. So I thought that that's probably something I shouldn't play around with. So I went to the emergency room. They checked me out. There was nothing wrong at all. But I haven't heard too many people ever say, "Oh, it's just my heart. No big deal." Now, most people, when there's something going on with your heart, or you even think there's something going on with your heart, you go and you get it checked out. Ed, you can go ahead and be seated, brother. And that's what we are beginning to look at and deal with here in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah focuses on the heart a great deal. He talks about them following the dictates of their own heart or of their own evil heart. And he mentions that about 8 or 9 times in the book of Jeremiah. In other words, they were a people who were listening to their heart. And our society says that's a great thing to do, but the Bible says it's not so smart. Jeremiah chapter 17 tells us, that the heart is deceitful beyond cure. Who can understand it? So our hearts are deceitful. If our heart is deceived, then that which is deceived will tell us something that's wrong. If we follow our hearts, we are being deceived because we're following something that's deceived. And that is our hearts. So the physical heart's a big deal. I want you to know that in the Bible, the spiritual heart, the inner man, who we really are, is a big deal to God. It's such a big deal that the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 that we are to guard our hearts, for from it flow the issues of life. Jesus actually said that there were those who worshipped Him or honored Him with their mouth, but their heart was what? Does anybody know? Was far from Him. So is it possible for us to get here on Sunday mornings and lift up words of praise to God, but yet our hearts not love Him at all? Is it possible? Absolutely. We can honor Him with our heart, with our mouths, and our hearts be far from Him. So the heart is a big deal. Here in Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, let's look at what Jeremiah is saying to them. Now, notice he says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem." Now, please note that in the last couple of chapters, he's been talking to Israel. Remember, Israel was the northern kingdom. Israel had been carried captive by Assyria. Israel had been scattered. He was looking to that northern land, the nation that was above them. He was looking to those people who had been dispersed, and he was telling them to return. But now he turns to the south, and he looks at the men of Judah and Jerusalem, and he says to them these words, "Break up your fallow ground, and do not sow among thorns." In other words, he's beginning to tell them this heart condition that has been left desolate for so long is something that needs to be cultivated. In that day, they would leave a field. Maybe every 7 years, they would leave a field fallow so that it could rest and that it would be more productive the next year. And that's what fallow ground is. It's land that has been left alone. But you notice something here, that in this, it had begun to produce thorns. If you were to look out into a field and see a farmer with his tractor, his John Deere tractor with a spreader behind it, scattering seed upon and driving through a field that was overgrown, thorns everywhere, the tall grass, and he was driving through it spreading seed, you'd think that guy was a nut, wouldn't you? What a waste of money. He obviously knows nothing about farming. A farmer, when he goes to spread seed, what does he do? He first plows up the field. He gets rid of the weeds. He prepares the ground so that the seed can go in the ground, and then it can what? Bear fruit and come up. And Jeremiah, God through Jeremiah, is telling the men of Judah and Jerusalem, the southern kingdom, he's saying you need to break up your fallow ground. You need to not sow what you have heard from me into ground that is producing thorns, that's just going to choke it out. And then in verse 4, he goes on and he says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord." Now, circumcision is something that was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 9. It was the removal of the foreskin from the male sex organ, and it was a sign of the covenant between God and the people Israel, between God and Abraham. And he says that in verse 11, "And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you." So it was not the reality of it, but it was a sign of the covenant that was given in chapter 15 in Genesis between God and Abraham. But look at what he's saying for them to do. They are to circumcise themselves. That circumcision was a picture of the removal of the flesh. It was a picture of a putting off of the old man and a putting on of the new man. It was showing that they were a people who were set apart for God, that they were a people who were different, who were unique, and who were seeking to live for Yahweh. And he goes on in verse 4 and he says, "And take away the foreskins of your hearts." Now notice that, folks. This is so important. In the New Testament or in the Old Testament, you can see it in both places. Because what God is most concerned with about every single one of us is what is the condition of our hearts before Him. And I'm not even talking about that physical heart within us, but it is that spiritual man within us. What is the heart of the spiritual man within us? Do we love Him? Do we care about God? Do we love Jesus? Do we believe in the Son? And God is saying to us, put away the foreskin of our hearts, that fleshly man, that worldly thinking, those things that are opposed to God, put it off. And circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Give yourselves to Him. In verse 4, he continues and he says, "You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings." You see, we see three things in this passage today that are really conclusions from this word. First of all, we are responsible for the condition of our own hearts. You can't blame anybody else for the condition of your heart. You can't blame God for the condition of your heart. You and I are responsible for the condition of our own hearts. But we see also in this passage that you and I are responsible for the loyalties of our own heart. You see, he said there, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. When you stand before God one day, you're not going to say, "But God, you didn't." You see, God through His Word is calling out to us even today, saying to us, give our hearts to Him. Be faithful to Him. Circumcise our hearts to Him. Be loyal to the Lord. But we see also, point number three is this. You will be held accountable for your own heart. I will be held accountable for my own heart. I'm not going to give an account for your heart. You're not going to give an account for my heart condition. That is laid upon me. And that is laid upon you. Now look at the passage again. In verse 4, "You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings." Back several years ago, a few years ago, I bought a piece of property. And on that property, it had a field that had about 6 acres in it. And that field had been left unattended for quite some time. Nothing had been done to it. It hadn't been bush hogged, had not been kept up at all. And when I went in and started trying to clean up a little bit, man, there were thorns like you wouldn't believe. There were blackberries growing along the edge, and they had thorns in there, and it was very rough to even walk through. And then out in the field, there were like little sapling trees growing up all over the place. And man, it was very difficult even to ride a four-wheeler through there because of how it was growing up. So you know what I decided I was going to do? I said, I'm going to burn this puppy. So I cut a trail all the way around that field, about 10 feet wide with my lawnmower, my little 38-inch John Deere lawnmower. And I got out there because the grass was growing up real high, and it was brown, dead, and it was dormant at the time. And I went out there, and I began to light some fires. And before I knew it, that entire field was ablaze, and the wind kicked up. And when the wind kicked up, boy, it just began to devour all of that grass on that field. And there was absolutely no way I could have stopped it. My neighbor, who lived out in front of me, came out there with her mop. And she, or it was a broom, one or the other. And she came out there and she's like, "We're going to put this thing out if we have to." She's going to take that broom and put it out. But I knew there's absolutely no way that that could happen. God says in His Word that if we don't cultivate our hearts, if we don't give ourselves to the Lord, that there is coming a day where we will be held accountable. And there will be a fire that will devour that you cannot stop on that day. It will be too late. So what is God calling us to do? He's calling us today to hear His Word and to obey His Word. I want to share with you three things. You may be sitting there and you may be saying, you know what? I hear this. I've heard these types of things often, but how can I cultivate my heart? I want to give you three ways. Number one is this. Know the truth. You need to know the truth. You need to know what is right. If I were to offer you five cars, if I had five cars and I said you could have any of these five cars that you want, but I promise you, one of these cars is 10 times better than all the rest. One of these cars, the tires will last 10 times longer. One of these cars, the life of it will be 10 times longer than the others. The comfort and the efficiency of it will be 10 times greater than the other four. One of these five cars, but I'm not going to tell you which car it is. But you can choose the car and I will give it to you, but whichever one you choose, you'll have to stick with. What would you do? I tell you what I'd do. I'd look at all the cars. I'd write down all the information about them. And I'd Google it. And I'd begin to research it. And I would begin to try to find out which one of these cars fits the category of what I just said. Which one is going to last the longest? Which car of these five? They all look great, but which car of these five is actually the real deal? You know what we need to do to cultivate our hearts? If you have a heart that's cold and overgrown with thorns, you need to know the truth. How do you know the truth? You search it out. You open up this book and you read the Word of God and you search it. You remember Lydia in the New Testament, book of Acts, chapter 16? When Paul came to her, what was she doing? Go ahead, say it out loud if you know it. She's praying. That's right. She's by the river with some other women. The amount of knowledge that she had, she was doing something with it. You see? And then the gospel came to her and God opened her heart to believe. So we see, first of all, we need to know the truth. Second of all, we need to believe the truth. Once you know it, believe it. It would be like me researching about these five cars, and then I've come to a clear decision. It's definitely this one. But all the facts are there. I don't want to be confused with the facts. I'm actually going to go and do something else. You see, we need to know the truth. We need to believe the truth. But finally, we need to obey the truth. The amount of revelation that God has given to us in His Word, if you see it there and it's clear that it's from God, then just obey it. Do what He said to do. Know the truth, believe the truth, obey the truth. In Hosea chapter 10, as we conclude, in Hosea chapter 10, the Bible says in verses 12 through 13, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness in you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way in the multitude of your mighty men. You see, folks, there's some of us perhaps today who are trusting in something besides Jesus, trusting in someone besides Jesus Christ and what God has done through the gospel. And God, through His Word, is calling out to us today and He's saying, plow your hearts and get it ready for the seed of the Word of God. And when that seed comes, may it not fall among thorns, may it not fall on the roadside, may it not fall on stony ground, but may it fall on good ground and produce fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. You see, the Word of God is coming into your heart today. What kind of ground is it falling on? Let's pray. I ask you today to consider how you are hearing. Consider how you are hearing the Word of God today. And I encourage you to consider the condition of your own heart before the Lord God. And I ask you today to seek to know the truth. And then once you have known that truth, believe the truth. And once you have believed the truth, then obey the truth. That's what God is calling us to do. It begins with hearing the message of the gospel and believing it. It continues in that, in a life of following the Lord Jesus Christ and obeying what He has commanded. Father, we thank You for Your Word. From the book of Jeremiah, let us, Lord God, be a people who say, God said it, I believe it, and I'm going to do it. Forgive us, Lord. We don't always do that. We fail. We fail, God. We fall short of Your glory, but we praise You today that Jesus Christ, Your Son, was perfect, and it is in Him that we trust, not in our obedience, but in Christ, who was the obedient One, obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Father, we thank You today, and we pray, God, that You'll move among us to accomplish Your purpose through Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.